Couples who constantly battle, we know they die 20 years earlier than those who try to approach their spouse with understanding. Okay, I'm just going to tell you, it's death. That's what's waiting for you if you continue to engage in contempt. So we'd like to avoid that if we can. And then, of course, there is this wonderful Georgetown University study that says nice, civil coworkers are more likely to be sought out for work. So if you're trying to get your colleagues to refer cases to you, to refer nice assignments to you, try to approach them with civility. I don't want you to think that the contempt is happening all on its own. We are actually, as a species, addicted to contempt. And guess who knows this? The media, right? They actually know how to reach out to us to further our own contempt. And now with social media, we can get rid of anyone who disagrees with us, right? So we create this echo chamber. And in drug terms, that's like purifying the heroin, right? The drug of contempt is so pure because that's all we hear are people who are firing us up and making us feel the same way. This is not a new concept. One of the founding fathers' biggest concern was what they called factions, people caring more about defeating the other side than they care about the common good. This goes way back to James Madison, and honestly, it really goes back to Plato if you want to know the truth. So, what can we do? Now I've laid out all the bad news. What we have to do is disagree better. All right, we have to learn, especially in the legal practice, but everywhere we go, how to disagree better. Now, if you think this is hard, don't worry, because before I came, I Googled how to get along with people we don't like, and I got over 5 trillion results, all right? So everybody out there is wondering the same thing. How do we do this? Are there ways to make this happen? And the good news is there are. There are some experts who have given us some suggestions. I'm not going to kid you. Some of these are very hard to put into practice, but I'll share them with you. The first step is just stop it. Just stop it, right? Just that easy. If there are parents in the room, you remember this when somebody would talk up to your kids and one of them would say, "She started it. He started it." And all the moms, we would say what? "I don't care. I don't care who started it. I care who's going to stop it. Who's going to stop it?" And that has to be us. We have to raise our hands and say, "I'm going to stop it. I'm going to start with myself, right? I'm going to stop assuming ill intent. I'm going to stop engaging in this conversation that is so negative. I'm going to manage my own reaction to the behavior around me. I'm going to remember to breathe. Just breathe." And also, I'm not going to assume that my disagreements are always about the other person, because I'm smart, remember? This is how smart people deal with difficult people. The smart people, that's all of us. The difficult people, that's not us at all, right? The smart people, we know that we likely play some part in that disagreement, in that type of engagement that's gone south. All right? So I want to, if you've never heard of Dave Isay, I want to introduce you to him because he is lovely and delightful. He did StoryCorps, One Small Step, and this is just such a simple quote, but I love it so much. You know, nobody has ever, in the history of humanity, nobody's ever changed their mind by being called an idiot or a moron or a snowflake. I think he's onto something here. Lashing out at the others is probably not going to really get us anywhere. And now I'm going to ask you to take a little moment of introspection. Is it possible that you are one of the water cooler folks who whispers, "You know, there's something about Bernice I don't like"? Do you agree? Just starting those little whispers in the office go so far to establishing that divisiveness, right, in the workplace. So even just hearing that, maybe if you're not the person who whispers it, but you're the person being whispered to, that's also a problem, because you've done something to indicate to the whisperer that you're open to that kind of communication. So I want to invite you to say at that moment, "You know what? I'm just going to stop you. I'm committed now to getting rid of divisiveness in the workplace and all around me. So what you just said about Bernice, that kind of crosses my line." It's really all you have to say. And then the whisper is going to go whisper about you. Let's say it out loud. But hopefully everyone else around you will take the same approach. All right, that's the first step. Stop it. The second step is empathize. And I know you know this because we talk so much today about emotional intelligence and empathy. But I think the way to do it is just to say, you know what? We're all doing the best we can. Because actually, we really are all doing the best we can. All the things. There's so many things out there in capital letters going on. The fact that you all got up, got dressed, look lovely and presentable, found a way to park and get in here today is pretty great. You're managing well. We're all simply doing the best that we can. And people who are toxic, they're probably suffering more so than usual. And we just have to kind of remind ourselves that. But interestingly, this is a learned skill, empathy. We know through research that we're not born empathetic. We're not born mean either. But learning how to actually empathize, that's something we have to learn. So I want to take a moment to introduce you to these guys. The guy on the left, if you're looking at this screen, that's Arnos Michaelis. He started a hate group in his 20s. He was really into the punk rock scene, and he started a skinhead group